We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Political analyst, founder of JMC Analytics and Polling. Hey, John, how are you?
Really good. Thanks for having me on your show today.
Thank you, sir. How do raccoons poll necessarily? do they poll well or not? Positive, negative? I'm just wondering.
Well, considering that they have hands that can pick things up, they could at least answer the phone, theoretically, and squeak out the response.
I guess they could also vote, couldn't they?
Yeah, if they push the appropriate button.
And you wouldn't be able to tell with the ID because they're wearing a mask. All right, enough of the foolishness. Let's talk about the elections that are coming up on Saturday. Where you want to start, John? I know let's start with the casino, I guess. I'll start because that is just garnering a huge amount of attention. Do you know if any polling has been done on this, or have you done any polling on it?
Unfortunately, the answer would be no to both. But the good news is, one of the things that I think is a decent approximation for polling is I follow the early voting statistics. Because the thing about early voting, particularly when you have a primary and a runoff, once you know what the primary early voting is, you then have a baseline where you look at the runoff numbers and say, oh, I think the number is going to be X. Well, my calculation of X, based on the numbers I have as of last night, probably about 30% turnout, and that's compared to the 19% in St. Tammany who voted in the primary. In other words, the casino is a turnout draw, especially when you consider that we're in the middle of holiday season and pretty much everything else is settled. So those kinds of issues are turnout draws wherever you put them on the ballot. The partisan mixture, too, by the way, is a little bit more Republican than the early voting in the primary. So my interpretation of that is in a close race, with it being slightly more Republican, that would be less favorable for the casino's passage.
Have there been any surveys done on bipartisanship, if Democrats are more in favor of it or Republicans, or is that just a heavily Republican area?
St. Tammany is pretty heavily Republican, and the way I look at it is a case of, in an election, even one with 30% turnout, you're really talking about who are the people who are the most emotionally intense about casino gambling. And so you're talking about, say, a 30% turnout versus, say, 70%. My thought about emotionally intense would be those who would be morally opposed to gambling. In other words, that would be of a benefit to those opposing the casino.
So the people would be more passionate if they were opposed to it than if they were for it.
Correct.
Yeah, that would make sense to me. So
it's one of those emotional issues where in a low turn, the John Cuvion kind of, I guess, yardstick I would use here is, number one, it's an emotional issue. Number two, low turnout. Number three, you talk about the dichotomy of who is for it and who is against it. When I was told that you have law enforcement people local to the community who are against it, as opposed to Drew Brees and John Foltz on the other side, my attitude is, well, the law enforcement people live in St. Tammany Parish, and certainly Drew Brees carries a certain amount of power to him. But again, in a 30% election, those are the kinds of people who most likely have made up their mind the day the campaign started.
My gut would tell me that, and I guess this is what you're saying, John, that okay, so it's Saturday, December 11th, and you got stuff to do, and I think the weather is going to be maybe a cold front comes through. If you are staunchly against gaming, you're going to make it a point to get up and go out and vote.
Yes.
If you're ambivalent about it, or if you're for it but don't really have a business interest in it, then maybe you won't. Or would that be accurate? I'm not trying to tell people how to vote. I'm just.
Yeah, I mean, what you're talking about there is emotional intensity, which is, even though in South Louisiana, particularly in the New Orleans metropolitan area, there is more of a nonchalant attitude about gambling, when you're talking about something with 30% turnout, the types of people who are more likely being that 30% are going to be passionately against it. And by the way, this is a good comparing contrast against the 1996 local option elections, where all of those things on the ballot related to casino gambling and video poker and so forth were coinciding with the presidential and U.S. Senate race. Mm-hmm. So in other words, you are at a large turnout. This time that is not the case, even though 30% for something that is pretty much the ballot, that's still pretty good.
You're not going to get the by the way vote for it. Would that be accurate?
This is basically, in my opinion, the chronic voters.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about the races in Orleans Parish for council.
And so what's kind of interesting, compare and contrast here, just like I was saying how in Tammany Parish, 19% in the primary was the turnout, and I'm projecting 30%. It's almost a mirror opposite in Orleans Parish, based on the early voting data I'm looking at. In other words, you had 20% primary turnout. I'm predicting in the runoff, based on what I saw as of last night, 20.
Mm.
Which is still decent, but I think it just kind of goes back to you having a runoff in the middle of holiday season. That's just a big damper on turnout in general. And the two races I'm more interested in, even though you have multiple council races, plus the sheriff, plus the clerk of court, the sheriff and the council district B, to me, are the most interesting things because you have an undercurrent in Orleans Parish, Katrina, with all the gentrification going on, which is causing the black majority to steadily decline down towards 50%, or in the case of Council District B, below 50%. And those white voters coming in are very, very liberal. And so you have this kind of interesting, you know, traditional Democrat. I would say the word old regulars, but that really means something entirely different in Orleans Parish parlance. But you basically have in the sheriff of the Council B race, kind of the old regulars versus the young progressives, mm-hmm. with Marlon Gusman and Jay Banks, in my opinion, being more of kind of the quote-unquote unregulars, with Susan Hudson and Leslie Harris, being kind of the young progressives.
Where does male-female break down in those elections? Because you do have, not only do they break down according to sides, but they break down according to gender as well, right?
So typically what you'll have in nearly every election is females are about 55% of the electorate. And I've never really seen a case where, let's say, you might have 70% women or 70% men turnout. Now, what that does mean, since you brought it up, is I would expect an advantage to Hudson and to Harris in terms of doing better with the female vote than with the male vote. But it's not like, say, 90 to 10 one way versus 10 to 90 the other. It's more like, say, a 10-point gender gap, which is probably worth about a point or two when all is said and done.
All right, let me take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about District C and District E, I think it is, right?
Yes, the Oliver Thomas race.
Yes, and Cindy Nguyen. It is 9:20. We're talking to John Cuvillon, Louisiana-based pollster, political analyst, founder of JCM Analytics and Polling. An election is going to determine the future in a lot of ways on September, coming up this Saturday, December 11th. It is going to get lost in the holidays, unfortunately. So make up your mind right now to get out and vote. A lot of people fought and died for it. We just remembered that with Pearl Harbor yesterday, so don't throw it away. We'll be back in a flash, WWL. 9:26 now on this Wednesday morning, December 8th, day 101 of the Ida recovery. John Cuvion, our friend, spending some time with us talking about the election coming up this Saturday. John, Louisiana-based pollster, political analyst, and founder of JCM Analytics and Polling. Some millages are on the ballot, but let's get to the council races still. District C, you got Freddie King III and Stephanie Bridges. Are these two newcomers to politics, John?
You know, the interesting thing about this race is not just the fact that Freddie King has a very wide lead, and as I mentioned in our last interview, Stephanie Bridges has a lot of ground to make up. Out of curiosity, during the commercial, when I was looking at the websites of both candidates, this, again, is one of those old versus new kind of races. The critical difference is Freddie King has pretty much everybody under the sun in Orleans Parish endorsing him, starting with a videoed endorsement of Troy Carter. So magnitude about something like that, when you have a very wide lead, is I would say that Freddie is in the driver's seat in this particular runoff, as opposed to the race where Jay Banks did not have a wide lead over Leslie Harris.
Okay. And it's not a very big lead between Oliver Thomas and Cindy Nguyen in District D.
Correct. And what's interesting about that race is you're talking about a district that is 90% black, and the fact that Oliver Thomas barely eked out a lead, I would think he's in trouble, except for the fact that, given that you're going into a runoff with hardly anything else on the ballot, that gives him a modest advantage. But still, I mean, as well known as he is, and he barely ran ahead of his opponent, that to me says something about the level of dissatisfaction voters have in that part of the city about him.
How do they feel about Cindy Nguyen? Is she perceived to be taking care of things in the East? She talks to us often. She seems to have some big ideas for New Orleans East. I'm not campaigning for one or the other.
Yeah. I mean, my impression of her is yet another one of these races in New Orleans where you have kind of this factional fight between those who represent the way things have always been run in New Orleans versus the newcomers who are getting some political oxygen from people coming in out from outside of New Orleans since Katrina, who have a different set of politics. So it's almost like you just have this kind of copy and paste amongst nearly every one of these council races plus the sheriff's race in terms of the old versus new.
And tell me again on the sheriff's race, what are you looking at there? What are you seeing? What are you thinking?
So what my thought about that is when I looked at the race, I looked at it through the lens of how the voters in the white majority precincts versus the black majority precincts went. And this goes back to what I was saying about while you have gentrification going on and the new voters are bringing a different type of politics to them into the city, the white vote went for Hudson by 46-35% margin over Sheriff Gussman, whereas the blacks voted 57-26 for Gussman over Hudson. So in that scenario, what becomes very important is going to be the racial breakdown, not just of the early voters, but of those on election day. In this case, I would say that Gussman has a mild advantage because the black turnout for the early voting in the runoff is running several points higher than it was in the primary. So when you're Sheriff Gussman and you're close to that 50% mark, those extra few percentage points of runoff early votes, in my opinion, makes the difference.
When it comes to millages, does an election like this help them get passed where they just kind of passively pass or renewed? Not because in Jefferson Parish it's renewals,
yeah.
Or hurt them? Or either.
My attitude about millages is nearly all the time renewals are going to pass. I think the typical attitude is, well, I'm already paying for it, why change? It's when you have a new tax, that's where those pushing the tax have a lot harder of a selling job to do to get voters to want to pay more. So a lot of it depends on one of those two factors. And if you're talking about having a sheriff's race and other council races on the ballot, rather than this being a 5-10% turnout race for millages, which benefits those wanting to pass it, when you're getting to the 20-30% range, like what I think is going to happen this Saturday, you're starting to have chronic voters as opposed to just the super chronic voters, like, say, the employees of the school board or the sheriff or whatnot being the only ones who are showing up.
So but when I still think of it. Go ahead. Finish, John, please. No, finish.
Yeah. What I was going to say is, like I said, the main you know, criteria I use is if it's a renewal, almost always it'll pass. If it is a new tax, that's where it gets a lot dicier, and it depends on who's pushing it, how much money they have to spend, who's supporting it, et cetera, et cetera.
And quickly, before we leave you, with that sheriff's race, there's this mystery mailer. The Gussman campaign says they had nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
How likely are we to see any last-minute tactics like this? And in an election like this, are they as effective as they would be in, say, a big election where you had a governor or a president or something like that on a ballot?
Right. So for the first part of your question, which is how likely, if you already had something ugly like that occur, I would not be surprised to see something else pop up later this week. Mm-hmm. As the effectiveness, I tend to discount it for a couple reasons. Number one, a third of the vote is already spoken for. Mm-hmm. And number two, you're assuming that everybody is waiting with bated breath to decide how to vote, and they're going to be influenced by a last-minute mailer, because in a 20% turnout election, again, you're talking about chronic people who are going to be the voters who've already made up their minds. So I tend not to think they're especially effective, but a lot of people still like to use them, and therefore that practice continues.
So if you had to narrow it down to one issue as it comes to the sheriff's race, that will be the decider. Is there one? Are there a couple at the top?
You know, the thing that's interesting about the sheriff's race is, given that you have this criminal justice reform type of movement that's occurring in larger metropolitan areas, that is something that in more progressive places like New Orleans, I think is something that incumbent sheriffs always have to kind of have a nervous eye out for, is progressive voters saying, wait a minute, you know, this sheriff is not advocating what I support, therefore I want to turn him out and vote for the challenger. That, to me, is the kind of dynamic that Sheriff Gussman is having to deal with.
And we talk daily about crime and violent crime in the city, guys getting held up while they're waiting for the police to come out and report an accident. They get held up and shot, report on an accident or respond to an accident. Does that work into the voter's mind at all? Does it connect up with the candidates, or do they look at that as different and distinct issues?
I would say different and distinct. Mm-hmm. In other words, unless you could show that there's a clear pattern of the sheriff's department employees have been negligent in fighting crime, it doesn't tend to be something in a more progressive area that would hurt an incumbent.
And turnout, you're talking about what, 20%, you say, of registered voters, which would be what percentage of the population? Pretty low, huh?
It's pretty low. And the reason I'm saying 20% is when I'm looking at the early voting, you had about 24,000 early voters in New Orleans in the primary. As of last night, it was about 16,000. And even allowing for a few hundred more mail-in votes that are going to come in today and tomorrow and Friday, that's a huge drop-off. And I've just found that once you have a primary and a runoff, you can use the primary's early voting turnout to determine, okay, is the turnout going to go up or down in the runoff?
Mm. Any final thoughts, John?
Just that I think this will be an interesting old versus new kind of contest in multiple races on the Orleans Parish ballot. And then in St. Tammany, it's really a case of celebrity power and desire for casino versus people in the community who don't want what casinos might represent. So that's another interesting dichotomy, is what's going on in St. Tammany.
It's going to be interesting to see how it turns out. Thank you, sir. I appreciate your time as always.
My pleasure.
You have a good day. John Couvillon, Louisiana-based pollster, political analyst, founder of JMC Analytics and Polling. When we come.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.